Hey guys, welcome to the DSJNP.com podcast. This week we got a lot of awesome people this week. Trust me, from the AWWIR, we have Wayne Isabaker coming from the UK. Son, he stayed up specially late for us. We have Rocky Mountain High as usual. We have Chevy as usual. And in the middle of it, we have the big, the mighty Heavy Set reporting in on the local wrestling around the United States coming in for us. Please take a listen. Follow us at DSJNP.com on Twitter. Please email us if you have any feedback at DSJNP.com@gmail.com. Facebook.com/DSJNP.com. And the website is coming, DSJNP.com, as usual. Again, enjoy. This is the WrestleCast, episode 11. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. Now get the guns, the drugs from my generation. I'll take the fall, the state, and across the nation. And it's a state. The guns, the freaks, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on. Let's get it out. Forget old school. This is play school.
Done, son. All right, guys, welcome to DSJNP.com podcast. This week is the WrestleCast, episode 11. I have some very special guests. Again, RMH, Rocky Mountain High. I got Chevy again this week. Everybody knows Chevy by now. But we have a very special guest all the way from Europe. The Baker, Wayne is a Baker, is here. How you doing, Baker, man?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good, good. You're welcome to bake up some fresh... What you're saying on the AWWIR?
It changes every week. We'll get cookies tonight.
All right, so we're not getting any fresh goods tonight, guys.
No, you've got the yeast incarnate.
The yeast. We'll call him the yeast. All right, guys, so got our same segments this week. We're going to keep going on these. Keep, toss, or improve. Character in the details. This week we're going over Roman Reigns. Extreme Rules. Thanks, Chevy, for letting me know. I forgot about this. Extreme Rules, we're going to run down that just real quick. Commentators say the dumbest shit. Best of the week, who you think best of the week is. Could be for any organization you want. And then we're going to talk about we're going to do free-for-all. And then trivia if we have time, if we're not at like an hour and 45 minutes, because we got a lot to talk about. All right, so I'm going to go over my keep, toss, or improve this week. Two of them, I want to keep that Bray Wyatt segment. That Bray Wyatt segment opened up Raw was like a dream given forth, if I can quote Babylon 5, was like a dream given forth. It was amazing. I loved every second of those kids singing and chanting. And then they came, I thought they were going to stay on the stage, but no, they came down. They surrounded the cage that had John Cena already in it. And then they sang some more. And then the lights went out and they came back on and they had the sheet mask on, and I flipped out even more, and I was so happy. Anyway, anybody want to say something about that? Baker, you want to say something about that?
Yeah, definitely. That was definitely the highlight of the night. Brilliant. I even loved how like the commentators sort of jumped on board and was making out that was like the most evil thing in the world that Bray Wyatt was doing, hounding these kids into doing it and that, and like he's some sort of disease going through the WWE.
he is the leader. Rocky Mountain, what you got?
Yeah, I loved it, and I love the creepy aspect that he's recruiting the kids. Oh, so and you know, creating this cult that obviously Cena is going to have to rescue people from the evil cult leader, right? But I also loved that the song he sings is a traditional religious song, and that just fits so well with the whole cult aspect.
It's cool. Dude, all I kept thinking about Rocky was Chevy. It's all I kept thinking about.
Well, it's actually the second song he threw up.
What was the first?
One time he tried to get this little light of mine.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, you're right, he did. He sang it a little bit on a promo that he was talking to. I think he was talking to Daniel Bryan. Chevy, so what do you think about that? Do you like it? Did it creep you out? What?
I liked it. I thought it was interesting because it was sending him more back into like the true heel role, because he was getting booed at the stadium for it instead of getting the pops he's gotten the last, I don't know, 7 weeks.
Yes, St. Louis doesn't like Bray Wyatt. They're not big fans of Bray Wyatt at all. When I think if he was somewhere else, that he would have gotten a pop if it was somewhere else, like maybe of the New York, or I mean, where were they were last week? Were they in Texas last week? Where the heck were they last week? Does anybody even know? I don't even think.
I don't remember.
it makes me think that I'm gonna lose my bet to you now.
Oh. That was Birmingham.
What, Baker?
That was Birmingham, wasn't it?
Yes, you're right. Alabama. It was Birmingham, Alabama. You're absolutely right, Baker. You're absolutely right. Yes. Okay, so that's a little close to his home. So I understand why he's getting cheered on that one. Okay, I get that. But St. Louis didn't really cheer Randy Orton either. It was a go-home show for him. They didn't cheer him at all.
They didn't boo him.
No.
They cheered when he did the pose.
They did. They did.
But I don't know if you're going to go back and play the clip of our bet from what we made post-show last week.
Oh, I will after Extreme Rules, I will.
you're waiting until after the pay-per-view?
Yeah, that was the bet.
No, but you're not going to play a clip so people know? This sounds like you're going to back out if you lose.
No, I'll play a clip of it. I'll play a clip of it. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, because for those who don't know, I bet that Bray Wyatt is going over at Extreme Rules. The Devil Vamp said that John Cena was going over. But now I really struggle to see them doing that scene and then letting Bray Wyatt go over at the pay-per-view. And if they were going to let Bray win at the pay-per-view, I don't know why he didn't do that during the match.
My thing to that is, I don't think they're letting Bray go over. After, and who was Big Trucker Josh was saying this in the group me. After Cena just did that, those three Make-A-Wish for those kids that were like, one of them was really, really, I think he had cerebral palsy. He was like 15 years old. He was really rough, but I mean, he was so happy to see Cena, and they, like, it brought tears to my eyes seeing that. And he's not going over. He's not going over, Chevy. He's not. Cena will beat him. Cena's going to beat him.
I think he could go over if they were interested in maybe concluding that storyline at SummerSlam, but I don't know how long-term, you know, they see
it,
this.
No, well, I thought it would be that Wyatt wins this and then payback, mm-mm, Cena wins, and mm-mm, that's the end of it.
Nope.
But my problem is that scene would have been cooler if they had done it at a pay-per-view and, like, Wyatt used it as a distraction to win the match.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so I'm thinking this was so cool with the kids. Imagine what they're going to do at the pay-per-view. I can hardly wait.
Baker, you think they're going to do anything for Bray Wyatt at the pay-per-view other than normal?
I think Wyatt is going to win, but it won't be clean. The family will get in the cage somehow, and that won't be a clean thing. So Cena saves face and everything. Ugh. That's the way I see it.
God, I'm still mad about Raw. Anyway, my toss is completely a toss this week. It's not an improve, it's a toss. Get rid of all the bullshit on SmackDown. I literally watched SmackDown pretty much on fast forward. I stopped through all the matches, just like I should, and it literally probably took me 45 minutes to get through the entire minute of SmackDown, of anything that was worth anything. I stopped for all the Shield beatdowns, and I stopped for all the matches. Other than that, it was all filler and bullcrap. If they want this to be a commodity and be able to sell this to another cable company or another broadcasting company, they need to make SmackDown live, and they need to make it legitimate again, somewhere where we want to go to watch wrestling. And right now, that is not it. I would rather watch Main Event on the network than SmackDown.
I don't think live is an issue. I think it's just that they don't take it seriously.
They don't. They don't take it seriously
whenever
at all.
Whenever they show a delayed Raw from another country, it doesn't come off as like a horrible show or anything.
I can't stand it, man. I can't stand it. All right, Baker, man, let's go to you. You're going to keep, toss, or improve? What are you going to do?
Let's go with... Well, I'm going to go with it. I want to keep Dolph, Jackman, and Sandow, because I thought that was surprisingly an awesome, funny segment of the show. Sandow kept a straight face for all of that was just gold.
He trended. He was number one on Twitter for like 45 minutes underneath Magneto.
That's just... that costume was just unreal.
I wanted it. I wanted to go to bed in it. I don't know about Chevy and Rocky Mountain High, but I wanted to go to bed in it.
It was such a bad Magneto costume. The colors weren't right.
That's what made it good. Rocky Mountain, you got anything to say about this?
Yeah, that's the one I'd toss. I'm such a Sandow mark, and I'm thinking, okay, if you're going to do this gag, fine, do it with Santino, you know, or someone who's kind of on the comedy side.
No, Santino was on he was on pre and post show duty this week.
They needed a heel to do it.
Yeah,
it's good point. To keep a straight face.
Yeah,
I hate to see them keep burying Sandow. And to your comment, Wayne, about him keeping a straight face, I mean, it just shows his talent. I just wish they would quit using him in capacities like that.
Unfortunately, I looked ever since, well, about the last 6 months at the WWE for some reason had gone off him. I don't know why. There was no lull in his popularity or anything has dropped off, but that just seems like they've got some sort of beef with him and he's been put down into one of the comedy roles.
Absolutely. It reminds me very much of Drew McIntyre, who was getting this rocket push and then there was this incident with his wife and Vince turned against him and he's been buried ever since. And I got to believe there's something like that going on with Sandow.
Now, that was his wife. Was that the diva that he was with? That was his wife? I thought that was his sister.
I don't remember her name, but it was his wife. And there was some sort of domestic violence complaint and the cops were called. I don't know all the details, but that was absolutely the turning point in his career.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, Baker, what you got, man? Toss, what are you going to get rid of, or what are you going to improve?
Well, you have to improve Uso's injuries, don't you? Oh. They really didn't sell them. They were just, 1 minute was his hamstring, then it was his ankle.
And then nothing.
Yeah, and just that just really irritated me when they can't just remember for like 10 minutes that they've got a limp.
Which leg are you going to pick today?
Yeah. But, yeah.
Okay.
And also, I've just got one quick other question.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Roar and that. What was Kane going to do with Brie?
I don't know.
He got her under the ring? Because he seemed pretty adamant he wanted her under the ring.
At risk of taking somebody else's toss, that was horrible. It was horrific. Brie cannot act. She can act better on Divas than she can on the damn show, the live show, the important one that brings viewers to her Diva show. I can't stand her right now. I think she's a thorn in Daniel Bryan's side as far as his character is concerned.
Mm. Yeah, but Raw made my prediction from last week look better. So
that is very true. Chevy's prediction last week was that Brie and Stephanie were going to get at it at probably, would you say, SummerSlam?
Yeah, most likely. If they wrestle at any point, I'm considering that a win.
Rocky Mountain, how you got anything to say about Kane?
Yeah, I'm really glad to see Kane out of the corporate character because that was so lame and just didn't go anywhere.
It started really well at first.
Yeah, but it died pretty quickly. Yeah. So I'm glad to see him back in the ring in that role. It was disappointing to see Miss Bella there, or Mrs. Bryan, I guess, or whatever, who suddenly couldn't move. You know, she's trying to get away from the monster and suddenly she can get no traction on the mat. It was just kind of pathetic.
Yeah, it was. And then
best thing was when Daniel Bryan first attacked, Kane literally blew on him and he went flying across the ring. Yet when Kane had full grip of Brie's leg, all she needed to do was flick her little leg and he went flying.
That was so bad. I really do wish that they would have either just, he should have just gone up, grabbed her and just took her down. And then that's it. Nothing else. And Daniel could have dove in, looked around, and then came out and said, holy crap. And then he should have ran down to the back of the stage. That's what they should have done. Nothing else. All that other stuff was bull. It looked horrible. It was acted horrible. Last week, she did a horrible job acting that Daniel Bryan was hurt. I didn't see any tears, any crying, nothing. I don't buy it. I don't buy any of it. I don't buy her at all. Not at all.
I kept waiting for the Phantom of the Opera music because here's the masked monster, you know, taking her down to the dungeon.
That would have been epic. Okay, I would have been on board if they just played Phantom of the Opera. All right. Chevy, what you got? Keep, toss, or improve, man?
I'm tossing everything going on with Daniel Bryan right now, and it's not Daniel Bryan's fault.
I was about to say, it's not even the WWE's fault, man. Really,
it is their fault. They don't care about Daniel Bryan.
Chevy, he got married. He got married, and then his dad died.
It's not like that happened, and then they were like, "Oh, we'll just stick it with Kane because of that."
I'm sure they wanted to do more, but you know, he's off grieving his dad. He looked like he'd been crying for 2 days when he showed up to Raw.
He's not even wrestling one of the top five heels in the company.
It's true. I think they should have went straight to John Cena, in my opinion.
You've got the most over babyface in over 10 years, coming off one of the biggest WrestleMania moments. Your WWE heavyweight champion, and he's not going to be the last match at Extreme Rules. It's going to be the Shield versus Evolution. And at this point, he may not be wrestling after John Cena and Bray Wyatt because Daniel Bryan didn't get the opening or the closing segment on Raw.
I told you he would fizzle, didn't I?
He's not fizzling because of him. He's fizzling because of the WWE. That's different.
Rocky, I just wanted to hear him freak out a little bit. All right, so
you gotta keep bad news. What's his name?
Yeah, I've got some bad news for you, Chevy. Daniel Bryan's fans are part-time fans at best.
Well, and I thought it was good logistics to do the Barrett segment with the camera focused on him while they're repairing the trapdoor in the ring. That was well thought out.
I thought it was too. As much as possible.
All right, Chevy, what are you going to keep or improve, man?
I am going to keep RVD in the Cesaro Swagger match because Cesaro and Swagger are horrible workers who clearly needed a 40-year-old ring technician who really cares about the product and hasn't botched any moves recently.
I will say. I will say this. I'm very disappointed in both Swagger and Cesaro and what they produce on SmackDown and Raw lately. I am very, very, very just disappointed and sad that they have not. They should be the ones putting on the clinic every single week in that ring, and they haven't done it. Baker, what do you think, man?
Could you say that they are too similar in styles for it to work?
No.
I wouldn't say that, no.
Especially when they should be wrestling a brutal match of Extreme Rules, which... A three-way is not a very
they should
true
be.
Match.
They should be doing. They're the ones that should be doing three stages of hell. There you go. Boom, boom. I blew everybody's mind right there. Rocky Mountain High. What you got? Toss, improve, or keep?
So the other thing to toss in my mind is TNA. I watched TNA Impact for the first time in a while.
Ooh, TNA. We're talking about TNA.
The camera work. Oh, God, it's awful. They have adopted this zoom in and out shaky handheld style like they do on the Cesaro swing on WWE.
But they're not as good.
Yeah, and they're doing it everywhere. So whenever they're not on the hard camera, I'm getting motion sickness. It's awful.
It's better than the X cam they used last year.
Oh, man, TNA's it's just brutal. I wanted to watch it because everyone's been complaining lately about the storyline, and I thought, okay, I got to get over there and see what's going on. And I just couldn't make it past the camera work.
TNA's a joke at best, guys. I'm sorry.
You watch TNA for one reason, and that's because they put on better in-ring product. WWE does.
Oh,
especially the women's.
Yeah. TNA is filled with really hard workers.
So you're tossing the camera work on TNA?
Yeah, the hard camera is fine. It's the handheld stuff outside the ring that I want to toss.
All right. What are you keeping or improving?
Let's see. Keeping, there was a lot of good stuff in Raw. Again, Bad News Barrett was great. And getting back to what we were just talking about with Cesaro Swagger, think back to this Cesaro-Zane match a couple of months ago and how spectacular that was. And I was hoping that it would be that way with Swagger. I don't know what the problem is with those two, but clearly they should not be wrestling together. I'm sure Cesaro can have great matches with other people. We've seen it with Zane, right? I'm not so sure about Swagger, but they need to fix that quickly.
Thing is, they didn't stink as a team either.
I know they didn't.
So I don't know why just working with each other, it just doesn't work. It's just slow, it's cumbersome.
Yeah, and I would expect it to be two technicians, two powerful technicians, you know, on paper, it's A+, but it just doesn't work out that way. So, you know, be that as it may, okay, fine. Line them up with other people and make it work.
I agree. I think they should just split them up. I hope this rivalry is done after Extreme Rules. I was expecting like a Sami Zayn Cesaro type of match out of them, and I got a Divas match.
You know, Daniel Bryan Cesaro would be tremendous.
There you go. Okay, that won't happen for a while. You know that.
Did you see the match last year?
No.
Daniel Bryan, like a week and a half before SummerSlam, had to wrestle through a gauntlet.
Oh yeah.
And him and Cesaro put on this really great
elimination
match.
Chamber. They all fought each other in the build up to the chamber.
That was good. That was all good. Yeah, Cesaro brought the best in everybody that time. That was when Cesaro beat Randy and almost beat Cena.
Everyone beat Randy.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody did.
Everyone beat almost beat Cena.
Everyone almost always beats Cena. All right, guys, that's the end of our first segment. If you guys want to follow Baker, man, it's Wayne is a Baker on Twitter. Please follow him. Again, Rocky Mountain High on Twitter. At RMTN High, HIGH. And Chevy, if you want to follow his sorry ass, it's Chevy on Twitter at WWIR Chevy, CHEVY. I love picking on Chevy. It's so much fun.
Hashtag occupied DSJMP.
Hashtag whatever he said. All right, character in the details this week, guys. We're going to talk about Roman Reigns. A couple of things I didn't realize about Roman Reigns, and I was talking to Chevy about this last night when I was prepping this. He signed with the WWE for a developmental deal in the Florida Championship Wrestling, which we all know became NXT. In 2010, he's only been doing this for 4 years. He looks like he's been doing this for at least 10 years.
Why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Because he's very impressive in the ring, flat out. His
four moves are really impressive.
I knew you were going to say that.
I like Roman Reigns. It's just he only has four moves. Generic Shield match is Dean Ambrose and Rollins do a lot of work, take all the beating, and then they valet the match until the point where Roman Reigns comes in, hits the spear, hits the punch, hits the kick, and wins.
Hulk Hogan only has four moves. John Cena only has four moves.
They have more moves than that. WWE doesn't like it when their stars, the faces of the company, have more than five moves.
Okay. Well, let me hear from Baker.
On Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
I've got to say, I am getting more impressed with his promo skills out the back. Because if you think about a year ago, all he used to do is the other two spoke, and all he ever used to do is go,
That's true.
He now actually can put together about three sentences. So he is rapidly coming on. And yeah, moveset. How many times can you see him do a Superman punch and a spear?
They're really good. They look spectacular.
He does do it really well. I was slow-moing the when he hit Heath Slater from 3MB. When he hit Heath Slater on SmackDown, I was slow-moing it. I was like, man, that looks really good.
But if the suspected SummerSlam match with Triple H is going to happen, you imagine Triple H match is always sort of a good 20, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
20, 30 minutes of Roman Reigns doing that.
No. we might see him finally go.
It'll be no DQ or something.
You think so?
He doesn't even have to wrestle. He just has to smash them.
Ring barrier will be going down at some point.
Rocky, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I'm really impressed as well. I mean, the guy is pretty green, but I'm loving his progress. And I was really impressed with the mic work of all three guys on the Shield on Raw.
Yep, absolutely.
I was not expecting it to be as good as it is. So very happy with the guy. I think for 4 years in, you know, you couldn't really expect much more.
Yep. So a couple of little interesting things about Roman Reigns. He did play for the NFL. He was a Georgia.
Not really.
Well, yeah, I know not really, but he was signed to the NFL. He played more than Goldberg did. No, he didn't. He played
That's
more
not
than
true.
Brock
Goldberg
did.
Goldberg actually took NFL snaps.
You're right. He played more than Brock did. But wait. He took NFL snaps. He got 9 tackles in his career.
Wow.
He played for Georgia Tech, which being from Georgia Tech. I'm not from Georgia. I live in Georgia. But Georgia Tech, he played for the Edmonton Eskimos, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Minnesota Vikings. So in case you guys didn't know, he did have a football career. He signed with the WWE for a developmental contract again for the Florida Championship Wrestling, with which then became NXT in July 2010. In November of 2012, a little bit over 2 years later, Rollins and Dean debuted at Survivor Series. So only 2 years. It only took him 2 years for them to fast track him. So he has to have something, Chevy. He must be able to do something.
He's got the look in 3 and 4 moves.
I don't think that's it. I just don't think that's it.
The look goes a long way, not to mention who his dad is.
Okay.
And at any moment, he could be put in a Magneto costume.
He's in one of the biggest wrestling families in the WWE.
He did. He pinned Florida Heavyweight Championship Leo Kruger during a tag team match on the 8th episode of Florida Championship Wrestling. Leo Kruger is now known as, does anybody know?
Adam Rose,
that is correct. One for the Baker. I got to keep Baker on. triple threat with Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. They used to wrestle all together. They used to wrestle each other, so they know each other very well. Okay, family. Everybody thinks they know his entire family, but a lot of people don't know his entire family. Anybody want to mention who he's related to?
The Rock.
Okay.
Usos,
The Rock. Anybody
Rikishi
else?
Rikishi Umaga. And his dad.
Who's his dad?
Sika.
Yep. From the Wild Samoans.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Sika from the Wild Samoans. Brother of Matt Rosely Ahoy. And he's also related to Yokozuna. And I think that's it, other than the ones you guys already mentioned. So nice job. That's awesome. So do you guys think he's the future main eventer? You guys think he's it? He's got the look. We all know he's got the look. He's a good-looking man.
If he's developing the way that he has been, then he could be, yeah. But he's too far from it at the moment for everyone. Everyone's basically talking as if it's a done deal. I think he's got a lot more work to do before he's anywhere near that.
Yeah, I think of the developing talent, which I still consider him part of, I think the only one right now who I'd say it's a better shot is Sami Zayn.
At what?
That being a main eventer.
What? Chevy, you always throw this shit out and just don't explain. You're just like, yeah, that's it. Done deal. What the hell are you talking about?
An incredible wrestler. El Generico.
Yes, we know Sami Zayn is an incredible wrestler, but why do you think Sami Zayn is a main eventer?
Because the guy wrestles like it. He's got great mic skills. His Olay thing, even though he has a lame gimmick, his gimmick got his gimmick really over.
He did. He does. Rocky Mountain High, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about Roman Reigns. The guy who comes to mind for me is Randy Orton. And here's a guy with a good look. I could see Roman Reigns, let's say, projecting to the future a couple of years, he gets that much moveset and stuff. Okay, fine. But you would never say, Triple H would say that Randy Orton's the face of the company. But I don't think anybody else would say that.
No, Triple H really believes that Daniel Bryan is the face of the company. At least is the future face of the company. He said that in an off-air interview.
Right.
Dan has said that multiple times.
Yeah, and so that level of popularity where the crowd is really behind him, I just can't see Roman Reigns ever getting there.
Really?
But I could see him getting to sort of Randy Orton level.
So you don't think he's the next Rock, which a lot of people believe he's the next Rock.
No,
How could you say he's
going to
be the next Rock?
I'm playing devil's advocate, I'm devil vamp. I play devil's advocate.
In spite of some of the stuff he did in ring.
Yeah, I think that sort of charisma like The Rock and Daniel Bryan have, excuse me, is kind of a God-given thing. I don't think that can be taught or developed.
The Rock did not have that much charisma when he joined in. He didn't.
Yeah, but how many people ever get to that level?
That's very true. I mean, when he was first starting on the Nation of Domination, the reason why he joined the Nation of Domination, or they put him in the Nation of Domination, was because he was doing so crappy by himself. Die, Rocky, die. I can see his I've watched that bio like 16 times because it always makes me cry.
He's still got over with stuff like the eyebrow raise and the can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so those guys I think are in a real unique category, and it's just hard to imagine Roman Reigns getting to that level.
Baker,
I like the Randy Orton comparison because Randy Orton had more, or had even less moves when he started than Roman Reigns did, maybe.
Yeah, and but, he came on young and pretty fast. Within a few years, he got kind of to where he's at now.
Randy's one of the guys who clearly his finisher was the biggest push for him.
Yeah, that and the football kick.
Yeah, no one has ever delivered a cutter as good as Randy Orton.
I miss the punt so much. I thought he was gonna do it in the ring last night with the Shield. I thought he was gonna do it. I was like, yes. Oh. Baker, last word on this. Yeah, I know. Last word on this, Baker.
I think out of the three of the Shield, I'd probably have to go. I see Rollins getting the highest level out of all three. I think the Roman Reigns push is gonna die out, and like you say, he'll just be like a mid card sort of strong man that will get brought up to beat down someone that is upsetting like the authority or whatever. I think that's going to be the level Roman Reigns end up. I think that Rollins is going to be the one that sort of breaks through and become a massive face in the company.
Okay, well that's so hard. Hang on,
so
Chevy.
Hard.
That's a good question, Baker. That's a really good question. So Chevy, out of the three, which one do you think? And I'm making a note of this right now. Out of the three, which one do you think is going to bust out?
I don't know. What I was trying to say is it's so impossible to guess. Because, like, remember when the Nexus came up, like, after their debut night, did you really sit there and think, Daniel Bryan's going to be the first one of these guys to win a world championship?
No.
Yeah, everyone thought it was going to be Wade Barrett. And then when Ryback came up, everyone thought, well, this guy is going to be awesome. And guys like Swagger. And so just throwing this out there that not all three of these guys are going to touch heavyweight championship. It's just like a rule of wrestling that not everyone can get really big.
Okay, I agree with that. Which one do you think is going to make it the furthest?
Which one? I think it's going to be Reigns, because I think WWE is going to, even if he starts to wear off on people, I think WWE is going to keep him and jump people's throats.
RMH, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they still have an appetite for big, muscular guys.
So I'm gonna have to side with Baker on this. I'm gonna have to go with Rollins, because I think Rollins is gonna be the next Shawn Michaels. I really do believe that. I think Rollins is gonna be such a good worker, and once he gets out of this Shield gimmick and he's out of the black. And don't get me wrong, I'm so glad they kept the Shield together as long as they did. And I know I've said in the past that I think they should break them up, but I'm really glad they did keep them together this time, because you can obviously see that Reigns is not ready to be by himself. Dean Ambrose is not ready to be by himself, unless I'm with Chevy on this, where Dean jumps ship to Evolution. That's the only time I'm okay with that. But I think Rollins is probably the best. He's the best on the mic. He's one of the best in the ring as far as just overall physicality. I've seen the guy take a beating. I've seen the guy give a beating. He jumps and does these flips in the air that I've only seen. Can you imagine him and Sami Zayn going at it? Holy crap. My mind just blew up. Hang on.
The man gravity forgot.
I'm telling you. He's crazy. He's crazy. Anyway, go ahead, Shane.
I mean, to me, he is the most talented. I think that Roman Reigns is going to benefit from what WWE wants to do with him.
All right. We're going to go through Extreme Rules just real quick. Just give me your thoughts on each match as we go through. Again, this was added in. Thank you, Chevy, for reminding me. I forgot about Extreme Rules, because honestly, I'm not overly looking forward to this pay-per-view. It's not really that big of a deal to me. A lot of the matches I think is bull crap, and I'll mention them as I go. So the pre-show this week is the WLC. Baker, we're going to start with you. Then we're going to go to Rocky Mountain High. Then we're going to go to Chevy, each one. Baker, what do you think, man? The Wii TLC.
If there's miniature furniture, we're all winners.
I didn't even think about that. That's brilliant. That is brilliant. That is so brilliant. Rocky Mountain High, what do you think,
man? Yeah, forget old school. This is play school.
I found my quote for this week, folks. Say it again.
I said, forget old school. This is play school.
Done, son. That is it.
So my initial reaction to any of these gimmicky matches is always an automatic, oh, crap, you know, this is going to be garbage. But as I think about it, I think it could be very entertaining. I'm actually looking forward to this. I think they could pull it off. I hope so.
Me too. I hope so. Chevy, what do you think?
I don't know. I kind of wish that this was what Rusev was like, had pinned in to where like they let this match go for 5 minutes and then Rusev like comes in and wrecks shop and went on to see him with the rest of the thing.
It's like Godzilla attacking.
Yes. Bambi meets Godzilla. Wham!
All right, Cesaro, Swagger, and RVD. I think this match is crappy. I think adding RVD to it makes it even crappier. I can't stand RVD. He walks like a gimp because he is a gimp. And I just hate the whole thing in general because Swagger and Cesaro has been giving us such crappy matches. Baker, what do you think, man?
It's just going to have one spot in it. It's going to have a Cesaro swing of some kind, and that'll be the only bit of the match that will get the crowd going.
I agree. Rocky?
I'm going to be irrationally optimistic again and say it can't get any worse than Cesaro Swagger. And there may be some kind of mysterious chemistry that comes into play here and makes it good. So I'm going to wish for that.
Okay. Chevy?
This is a general complaint, but there's not very much gimmicks and stipulations going on in Extreme Rules.
That's true.
Every year they've had less and less. And to me, this match screams out that it should be a TLC match between the three, but there's nothing to hang.
Yeah. That'd be really cool if they hung a contract for Paul Heyman, but, you know, they're not going to do that anyway. So, yeah, there is no gimmick on this one. It's just straight up a triple threat.
So RVD can spend 5 minutes smoking weed under the under the ring while the other two are wrestling.
Okay. All right. Big E versus Bad News Barrett. I do believe that Barrett's going to go over Big E. I do like the fact that Barrett mentioned how bad of a gimmick or how bad of a personality Big E has. You know what? I don't know Barrett's going to go over, but I do want Barrett to go over. But I have a feeling that he's not going to. Baker, what do you think, man?
I think that's officially the end of the Big E push.
You think so?
Yeah, I just think they've tried so hard. They put him on commentary for 3 weeks running and just nothing happened. So then they literally got to the point where they were just making him watch a screen for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's I didn't even think about that. This is so true. So who do you think's going over? You think Barrett?
I think Barrett's going to become champ now, yeah. I think they're going to try, and I don't know where they're going to take the Bad News gimmick with the belt, but I think that's what they're going to try and do.
Go ahead, RMH, what do you got, man?
Yeah, I agree with Wayne. I think clearly they've got Bad News Barrett on this rocket push, and clearly they've kind of run out of things to try with Big E, which is really a shame. We all had high hopes for him 6 months ago.
We did.
So, you know, it seems, unless there's some massive swerve, then for sure Bad News goes over.
Chevy?
Yeah, I definitely think he should win. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. I think that once he wins the title, he should get an IC title that wraps around the podium. Just a giant one.
Just a ginormous one.
And then, like I said before, like whenever he's in a rivalry and that guy has a match, Wade Barrett's music hits and he comes out and hijacks the commentary and does the commentary for the match from the podium.
Who?
And you know, his Bad News gimmick could be great in terms of ducking challenges.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Who in the world would have thought? When did this start? On the JBL and Cole show? Like,
I sadly watched that, so I actually remember how it started.
How did it start, Baker? Tell us.
Basically, he started tormenting Hornswoggle, and he kept coming up as a recurring dream with Hornswoggle. So Hornswoggle kept sitting there, and you kept hearing Wade Barrett's voice going, "I've got some bad news for you." And that's just that started there. And then they shaved Cody's mustache off, and he was like, "I've got some bad news for you." He goes, "You've got to get a new T-shirt." it was brilliant. It was gold for about 6 weeks, and just stupid things like that. And then they brought it onto Raw, and that just didn't work for me at first. But it's gradually finding its way there. And
God,
like I said, Chevy said about like he gets on like commentates for matches and that. He did it on a SmackDown not so long ago between Miz and Brodus Clay. He just stood on the podium just getting the crowd to do chants, and that was brilliant. I don't know why they've not done it since.
I told myself too I'd watch it. I have to go and watch that. I have to find that SmackDown, and I don't have Hulu Plus anymore, so I've got to watch it.
On YouTube, you just search Brodus Clay versus Miz, Bad News Barrett, and then come up, and then Miz at the end tries pushing the podium over. And Wade Barrett just stands there going, "You're not strong enough to push me over, son."
I would have never thought that this character would have ever gone over. I've only seen like a couple of the JBL and Cole shows. Haven't seen that many at all. And I thought it was really dumb. And
that shows my intellect then.
Well, I thought it was really dumb. And then I just gradually, I just thoroughly enjoyed it so much. And it's just gotten over on everybody and everything, and it's just permeated every... I just enjoy it so much. I just enjoy it. All right, Cena versus Wyatt. I've already posted my... I've already blustered my opinion about it. Baker, what do you got, man?
I think that's going to be Wyatt wins, but that won't be at the expense of Cena. That will be... Everything will be thrown at Cena.
Okay.
There'll be some sort of interference, and no way is Cena turning heel. Not with the way that you... Especially when they do all the charity bits like they did on Raw with Make-A-Wish and that, and you see all those kids get all crazy for them, and you think, am I a horrible person for wanting him to turn heel? Because obviously all that goes out the window.
RMH, man, what do you got?
No, I think this is a chase for Cena's soul, much like a chase for a championship belt. And Cena will stay face, but he will do this shtick, you know, where he's wanting to turn mean and bash chairs into heads again, and whatnot, and won't do it. So he'll stay strong, and, you know, Superman will prevail over the evil Bray Wyatt eventually. But I'm actually looking forward to it. I think it's a pretty good chemistry between the two, and they could stretch this out quite a while.
And everybody knows Chevy's opinion. Chevy, you got anything else to add to that?
It would be kind of interesting if they, like, tore down the cage somehow during the match instead of just climbing over the top.
So you're still going. You're still going with Bray going over.
That's more on like a hope than using my brain thing at this point. But it's not going to be clean. That's for sure.
I can't wait till next Tuesday.
In my head, I've kind of worked it out a little bit to where, like, if Cena loses here, wins at Payback, then he can enter the Money in the Bank competition to make the internet wrestling community shit their pants.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to win again.
Absolutely. Cena's going to be champion at the next WrestleMania. I have no doubt he's going to win the championship at the next WrestleMania. Anybody disagree with that?
Unknown.
Baker?
Like I have just said, that he won't have the title this year, but you're probably right. That will open up for WrestleMania next year.
Yep. Rocky, what you got?
Yeah, and if you think about it, for him to go over at WrestleMania and become champion, it will be this huge, massive victory, which says he will be going over some horrible heel and have been abused for a whole long time. I don't know if that'll be Bray Wyatt. Who knows? But it'll be somebody. It'll be a big, long build.
Yeah.
I think they're going to actually need him to push a non-title story for WrestleMania because he's really good at that. And they like to have three main events.
He is, and when he came out to the ring in the cage talking about how, again, his legacy and how everything goes through him and he's the face of the company, I was just thinking back to, I just talked about this. I just won a cannonball for this. I am a genius. And then they went to the Bray Wyatt, and I was like, I'm not a genius. I'm dumb. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, he could go over Barack.
Oh, God, he should. Oh, all right. Paige versus Tamina. I think we know what Baker's, because Baker is close to her hometown. So, Baker, what do you think, man?
I wish I was close to her.
I think we all do, by the way. That's creepy. Again, I say that. Anybody who says they want to get close to Paige that is over 30 is creepy.
I'm safe then.
He drew the line right where he is.
I did.
But no, I think Paige is going to have a couple of months until AJ comes back. So I think that'll be Paige to build her up, still go and win.
Everybody knows AJ's being punished for sleeping with the enemy.
She voluntarily left the company.
She's moving house since she was the official line.
Yeah, she said she wants to take a month off to move in with Phil and just not be wrestling because she's been used as a workhorse.
She has been used as a workhorse. She's been holding up the Divas division. Really? I mean, does anybody disagree with that? I don't think so, right?
No, but I'm just saying, like, she's not being punished right now. She
think the Divas stuff was the weaker stuff, actually. I think she was better as like a valet and stuff and being, well, basically girlfriend material with the whole locker room. I think it's better stuff than when she was in the Divas.
Yeah, I heard she was girlfriend material for the whole locker room. That's what I heard.
And Vicky's foil. That was a great interaction. My wife loved that.
It was. Rocky, what do you think, man? What do you think about Tamina versus Paige?
Oh, Tamina's nothing, and they got to keep Paige going. It's pretty fragile. They, yep. You know.
Chevy?
Paige wins? I don't know. I could see them developing Tamina as a very weak version of Karma, where she's like a monster heel for the division.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that it's going to be the second best match of the night. I know. All of you are like, what the fuck are you talking about, Vamp?
Next week, Devil Vamp is kicked off of the show for being an idiot.
Okay, so next week, Chevy will be your host with special guests, The Baker and Rocky Mountain High. Have a good night, folks.
And no one will download the show.
And I will be suspended for one show. Okay. Yes, I'm going to say it's the second best match of the night. I'm going to say Tamina and Paige are going to be that good.
It's still going to be a short match.
It is going to be a short match because it's a Divas match. I mean, either way. I mean, what that some of the crappiest matches have been between guys anyway. So, I mean, you can't say the Divas matches are the worst matches ever. But her and Emma put on a clinic. And I'm going to say this right now. Paige going into a pay-per-view, a big pay-per-view like that, is going to make a statement.
I don't understand how she holds them up for her submission hold. Defies logic with her chicken
legs. She's going to do it. I'm telling you guys, you watch me now. You guys are going to be kissing my rings next week. Or you guys are going to be kissing air next week because I'm not going to be here.
So you could argue that Diva's stuff over the last couple of weeks has been some of the better stuff on the two because they've been two very lackluster Raws.
Absolutely.
And even Brie and Paige, for the short little time they got, and Brie, you know, is not an amazing wrestler. She's got a lot better recently. You could argue that that was actually one of the better matches on the last night's Raw and actually deserved a longer time before all that kicked off with Kane coming through the ring.
Yeah,
I agree. And I especially agree on the improvement in Brie. She was just laughable 2 years ago. And it is remarkable how much better she is now.
I'm not saying her promo skills got any better, though, but no, her in-ring is, you can tell she's definitely working with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen him, if you watch the, just real quick, if you watch the catch-up on Daniel Bryan preparing for WrestleMania, it was actually a very interesting little documentary they did, and watching them work out together was actually pretty cool. It was very interesting. Yeah, I mean, anything that she needs to do to get better in the ring is obviously, I think, is better because, I mean, you guys know I've called twice talking about the Divas. So just because it's – when I see something, I want to fix something. If I see it's wrong, I want to fix it. And getting to the root cause of it is fixing it. So seeing that the girls can't wrestle or hurt each other in the ring, I get very concerned. I don't want to see people hurt on my TV. I just don't. Yeah, do I like fighting? Absolutely. Do I like the best thing about NHL is the fact that they punch each other out. But, I mean, seeing someone snap their leg is not, like on accident, is not fun to me. Pretend is all great, but not, it's not good. And seeing a person almost lose her eyeball because a girl went down for some type of crazy knee is ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous. She almost lost her vision. Because that
I completely agree. I mean, the reason I love one of the reasons that I love wrestling is because it takes such skill to not hurt the other person. And you know, if I wanted to watch a snuff film or I don't know, even MMA and see people get legitimately beat up, I would watch that, but I don't. I want the entertainment aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Kane versus Daniel Bryan, guys. What do you think, Baker?
Oh, it's going to have to be Bryan winning it because this just feud is just, I don't know. That just felt like 1 week they went to Stephanie, right, go on, put the mask on and off you go. This will do the cover for 1 month. We'll use, and they didn't even use the Team Hell No stuff in the rivalry. It's just, I know obviously they lost a couple of weeks with Daniel Bryan's dad and everything happening, but it just felt like oh, there you go, this will do for a month until someone else frees up to put with Daniel Bryan. So it's got to be Daniel Bryan all the way, isn't it?
If I think it would have been better if they would have added the Team Hell No. They would have added, and then they would have added maybe like a little craziness. But then again, I mean, it's so hard to do that when she's obviously with him getting married. She's obviously with him when his father dies. So it's hard to add that cool backstory that we know we like to see from The Undertaker and Kane. That whole stalking and, you know, trapping them somewhere and then like maybe stealing her for like a week, or you know what I mean, Baker? I mean, it's hard to get that stuff done when like real life stuff gets in the way.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I'm not sort of pissed off with the situation, because a lot of it was out of WWE's control. But this really is just, well, that's why it's third in the card, because
yeah,
from main event, because it just circumstances, just this isn't the match to be had, is it? It's just pave it over, get it to the next month, where they'll then obviously, hopefully, come up with a more fuller story for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, which is my biggest thing that I think about when Chevy talks about how how Daniel Bryan stuff hasn't been good, because it hasn't been good because he hasn't had a chance to being good. The poor guy lost his dad. I mean, he looked like he'd been crying for like 2 days when he came back to Raw. I mean, I really did feel sorry for this guy that. I mean, I know he's had a week off and all, but damn, man.
Accounts, though, he was told by the company, this is obviously dirt sheet, so mm-hmm. believe it or not, mm-hmm. but they've told him that they wanted him to have last night off, but he refused to have it off because he didn't want to be forgotten for the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And that's stuff like that, like with Dolph Ziggler with the concussion and that, how easy you can just drop off the radar and you just sink. So
it's true.
It's lucky that we even had a bit of Daniel Bryan last night just to keep his toe in the water and stuff.
RMH, man, what do you think?
Well, normally I agree with Wayne, but I'm 180 degrees out on this one. I think Daniel Bryan has been on such a roll for such a long time, overcoming the odds, etc., that he can safely lose a match, and especially if it's dirty. You know, Kane is this out-of-control monster now who's ultimately serving, at least nominally serving, the authority. They'll have some kind of a dirty finish where Evolution jumps in, or you know, some kind of cheating where he will go over Daniel Bryan.
Okay. All right. Chevy, what do you think, man?
My problem isn't with the quality, it's the direction. I think it's a real slap in the face to tell Daniel Bryan that he's wrestling Kane instead of Randy Orton, but Brock Lesnar, Triple H.
Chevy.
And this wasn't that plan isn't related to his father dying. That's related
to
what WWE
wanted
to do.
Chevy.
Huh?
What the heck? Hang on, guys.
Oh, we were missing.
All right. Go ahead, Chevy. Say what you're going to say.
My problem isn't with the direction that it isn't with the quality that they're sending with Daniel Bryan, because Daniel Bryan's doing a really good job on what they're giving him. It's just the direction. Because he's not even versing one of the top five heels in the company. All the good heels are either not there, like Brock Lesnar, they're wrestling John Cena, or they're wrestling The Shield.
But that could bring up a heel, and it would be better than Kane. I mean, I don't think that's the problem at all. I think it literally has the problem to do with outside circumstances. I really do believe that. I think it's the problem they haven't been able to build the story. Like Baker was saying, they haven't been able to go out and really build the story and see what Kane can produce. I don't know.
They've done all they need to do for the story, because what the match on Sunday is going to be is it's going to be a Super Cena type match where, in the Extreme Rules, Kane destroys Daniel Bryan for 20 minutes, and then Daniel Bryan starts hitting his moves at the very end and wins.
That's true. All right, guys, joining us, Heavy Set. What's up, Heavy? Heavy, you got to take yourself off. There you go. Take yourself off mute, buddy. So we're talking about Kane versus Daniel Bryan, man, Extreme Rules. What do you think?
I think it's a perfect setup for Daniel's title run. Of course, he's going to win. It gets someone him to go through. There's a little bit of history there. Cena's off doing his thing. The Evolution's off doing their things. It's just kind of a victim of the circumstances, but I think it works out and also helps prolong all the storylines that they have.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like I was telling Baker, man, I really do think it's just the whole thing is not as good as we'd like it to be. I think it could have been better. I just think outside circumstances, his dad dying, them getting married, it just hasn't been able to build up to be as good as it could have been. I really do think it could have been really well with them, good with them too. I don't know. I don't know about the in-ring ability. And then the last thing we're going to talk about, stream rules, guys, the one thing I forgot, thank you, Chevy, for reminding me yet again, is Evolution versus the Shield. And the Shield has been hitting on all cylinders this week. I mean, literally, they've been everywhere this week. So, Baker, we're going to start with you again. What do you think about Shield versus Evolution?
I've got one thing that I don't agree with everyone else is talking. Everyone else is speaking like Evolution's going to be around for months and getting new members to join them and stuff. Nope. I can't see that. I purely think this is just for this one match. It might go for one more month, but it's just so they can have this uber match of a three-man faction, Shield versus Evolution. Everyone's like talking about long-term plans. I don't know what everyone else feel about that.
I agree with you. I don't think it's going to last that long either. Although I do believe they need to get somebody that they can rub off to and instantly make. Whether it be like Chevy talked about, whether it be Charlotte or somebody else, Dean Ambrose or somebody to instantly make. RMH, man, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with the short-lived aspect of Evolution. However, I think they've had so much success with these three-man tag teams that they need another one, you know, to take the place of Evolution. I'm intrigued by Ric Flair's role in the corner of the Shield. I don't know if he's going to hit somebody with a gin bottle or what, but he'll be some kind of a factor.
You want to go over that real quick, how he acted on Raw, Rocky?
He was drunk out of his gourd.
My God.
And I actually feel sorry for the guy. It reminded me of Scott Hall. You know, here he's very late in his career. He's got his one last shot at a paycheck and any kind of fame, and he can't hold it together to make a 5-minute appearance, non-bumping appearance, sober.
All because Triple H loves him. I mean, essentially, that's what it is. All because Triple H loves him and respects him. That's why he's still there. That's it.
Yeah, that's really it. And he's abusing it. And, you know, it's not going to last. It's just sad to see the guy go out that way.
It is. Chevy, what do you think, man?
I think, I'm not saying that Evolution is going to be around for 2 years, but I think they're going to be around through at least SummerSlam. And I just see that really struggling to happen without them picking up another member and winning at Extreme Rules. Because otherwise, I think it's just going to be too long to stretch out that feud between Triple H and Roman Reigns, because they really want to do that match.
Okay, so you're with Baker, man. You think that it's going to be Roman Reigns and Triple H at SummerSlam?
I'm going off that because that's what I read on the internet.
Oh, okay, dirt sheets.
It seems to be something that WWE would want to do with the push they've been putting Roman Reigns on.
All right, I agree with that. Heavy Sat, what do you think?
I'm not real big on this feud right now. Like, there's a lot that I like about it, but I think when it comes down to it, it's this match is what's. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen after this.
A lot of smoke and fire.
Yeah, because it seems like a lot of people are saying, like, you know, this could be a match where somebody from the Shield turns, and I've heard a case for every single one of them, which is perfectly fine. But it's just like, okay, I want to see what happens next. And I could actually go with either one of these two teams winning. The Shield is like the ones who need it, but I think if done right, Evolution could win, but still get some sort of rub to the Shield. So I'm not real big on this one right now, but it's just I want to see next, not now.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of smoke. We haven't seen much. We've seen beatdowns here, beatdowns there. I was really impressed with the Shield on SmackDown. I think they made their presence known, but I don't know. I'm gonna say this. I'm with Heavy Set on this. I'm not sure about the match. I know that doesn't happen very often. That's weird.
I think they get a bigger rub if they lose the first match, and then that leads to another 3-on-3 tag match, and then single matches. Like, I think if they lose the first one so they can develop like a summer-long program with Evolution, I think that actually would give the Shield a bigger rub.
That's not bad. So you think it's going to be like an indecisive match at Extreme Rules?
I think there's going to be a fourth member that shows up and screws the Shield because they had to replace Batista, who's leaving.
They do. You're right. They do. Because he's got to go do press for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. So the Evolution will win one. The Shield will win sometime during the summer, and then at like Battleground and SummerSlam, you're going to see Triple H versus Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose versus Randy Orton, Seth Rollins versus whoever the third the new member is.
Okay.
Or Batista.
So the new member, I hate to think this, but could you imagine the new member is Swagger and the guy to offset Flair is Zeb?
Oh, that would be awesome.
It's going to be Hornswoggle. He's joined every other faction.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. All right. So commentators say the dumbest shit. Just chime in as you want, guys.
He took the bull by the horn.
Okay. Yeah, there's one. JBL freaking out yet again over the little El Torito. But I want to start out with King saying something that I thought was just, honestly, it wasn't really dumb. It was just really funny that the King saying this about Paul Heyman, saying Paul Heyman finally told the truth. He's a liar. Because Paul Heyman in a promo said that he was a liar. Paul Heyman called himself a liar. So I just thought that was really funny. Anybody got anything that they can remember off the top of their head that they wrote down during Raw? Heavy Set. We'll go to you first. Heavy Set.
I wasn't prepared for this, so I have nothing.
It's okay. Okay. All right. That's fine. Chevy, what do you got, man?
I only listen during when the wrestlers are talking. I listen to my kids when the matches are happening or something.
Baker, you got anything?
I thought JBL's overreaction to Heyman having Zeb Coulter's mustache was quite amusing. He's got the mustache! He's got the mustache! He's got the mustache! I just thought...
It's very...
show that much passion for that, but it's something else that happens that is really good spot, and then you just get a no sell.
Yeah, they almost, and I was so pissed. They almost didn't call that Diva Superplex, and I was going to be pissed. We haven't seen a Diva Superplex on Raw in months and months and months. And if Cole did not call that, I was about to jump out of, off of my couch and scream at my TV to top of my lungs. I was seriously going to be mad. And he called it. Yeah, I know. Dolph Ziggler saying to Sandow, saying I don't speak jive during Hugh Jackman's segment. He's just under his breath. He's like, I don't speak jive. and then the three comment. Oh my god! All three of the commentators talking about how JBL gets his eyebrows waxed and how JBL is no longer welcome in Mexico. During Cody Rhodes' match. A match that we want to see because Goldust and Cody Rhodes aren't getting along right now. But instead, you know, they talk about JBL getting his eyebrows waxed and him not being allowed back in Mexico. Anybody want to comment on that?
But JBL is just the same crap every week. I don't even think he's there. I think they just play a tape of him. Because it is the same stuff at exactly the same point.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
It's Mexico's greatest export.
It is. It's the, it is. You're right. You're right.
I got to give me one of those balls.
Heavy Set. You got anything to this?
Nah.
Well, if you listen to any of our podcasts in the past, man, Chevy and I went on quite a tangent about all the commentary. That's why we came up with the segment, because it's ridiculous how we went from the King and JR talking about the actual match, and then like JR talking about the match, and then King talking about other stuff, which worked out great. And now we have three Yahoos that don't even talk about the match. They talk about waxing eyebrows and what his barber's name is during a match that we want to see because we want to see Goldust and Cody split up and go at it finally. But no, that's not what we're talking about.
The booth has been headed downhill continuously since the King walked out.
King
walked out. Well, he quit his job. He walked out on the company back in, what was it, 03, 04? I can't remember when.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chevy, for the influence. King telling jokes about AC/DC during Paige and Bria's match. The King. Now, this was actually kind of funny. When Hornswoggle jumped on the top turnbuckle and jumped down on top of the guys and he missed. No, he jumped from the apron on top of the guys and he missed and he hit the floor. He did say Hornswoggle has the glide path of a sofa, which I thought was really funny. I did. I actually kind of enjoyed that. And then, like, RMH was talking about, fear the bull, fear the bull, fear the bull. And then the plane, talking about,
you know, so I gotta tell you a story.
Go ahead.
This was so funny. Many years ago, Wayne will appreciate this, I used to work in a big commercial bakery, and we were moving some machinery in this, you know, what amounts to a factory, and the thing's so big that there are catwalks that are elevated 2 or 3 feet off the floor, and this little short midget kind of guy on our crew fell off the catwalk. And we used to call him Tattoo. And he falls off the catwalk. He's on his back like a bug. And he's saying, "The pain, the pain." And we're all laughing at him saying, "De plane, de plane." So I had this immediate flashback last night when they were doing that shtick. I thought they must have been with us at the factory.
That's so crazy. Oh, my goodness. All right. Anybody last words about commentary? No? Okay. Best of the week. What do you guys think was the best of the week? It could be anything. NXT, TNA, Raw. Who do you think was the best of the week? Why do you think it was the best of the week? Let me know what you think. Heavy, we're going to come to you last since you haven't been prepped for this. You don't have the rundown. Wayne, Baker, what do you think, man?
Can I sort of change it? Best of the week could be the best, could be the worst.
Okay.
Sorry to change all around.
That's fine.
It's the Anderson slot. I don't know if that's genius or if it was absolute tripe, because everything about me says I should hate that segment, but it is strangely watchable. I don't know how everyone else felt about it.
Anybody comments on the Anderson slot?
I loved it. I thought it explained his character. I thought it was funny.
Baker, you wanna comment on that? What happened?
Basically, what actually retell the segment quickly.
Okay, go ahead.
Basically, Anderson goes to Sam Shaw's hometown, returns up, knocks on the door of this house. He goes, this is his parents' house or whatever. So he goes in, mother opens it. Basically, it's like an old version of Christy Hemme. You keep getting Anderson. Anderson keep looking at the camera going, holy shit, like that, so every couple of minutes. Basically, go in, they sit in, have the thing, he's going, I'm doing a bit on your son, segment for TV, and he goes, gets talking to her, and he goes, holy shit, something smells good. She goes, it's pie, I cook one for Sam every day. He goes, whoa, how do you get it to him? Do you, like, deliver it or whatever? And he goes, well, if you say delivering it, it's taking it to his room. Do you want to see it? So basically, it goes down to this basement bit, and it's just the acting is terrible. And it's like, even when he's going down the stairs to the basement, the mother is at the top waving at him and shuts the door. He goes down, looks at the wall, and it's got this like cartoon foam letter saying, Samuel's room. And he's just down there. Next thing, Sam Shaw walks in and goes, what you doing in my room? What you doing in my room?
That's a pretty good American accent, Baker.
The cameraman, this is the best bit, cameraman gets sort of touched and goes, fuck it, I'm off. Storms up the stairs like something out of Blair Witch Project, like really dramatic shaky cam. The mother's at the top just holding his pie going, would you like some pie? And he's like, hell no. And then next thing, Sam Shaw comes up with a bloody nose and hugs the mother, and that's the end of the segment. And that's just the most overacted, weirdest segment ever. And as of course, I've got, you know, one other gripe with it. For last few weeks, you've got Christy Hemme potentially being raped, and the cameramen do nothing. Yet he gets touched on the leg or something. He's like, fuck it, I'm off. This is just terrible. Proper storming, and suddenly they bring the cameraman into like an acting role. It's an unbelievable segment. You have to see it to believe it.
All right.
Sorry, I've just gone off.
That's fine. That's absolutely okay. All right. Best of the week. RMH, what you got?
Barrett's match. Same as last week, which I also thought was the best of the week. His promo first up on his tower and then the match, which immediately followed.
That bad news segment was funny.
It was. And the match I found very entertaining as well.
All right. Chevy, best of the week.
I'm going to say the best of the week is that I got Alexander Rusev on NXT, on Raw. I'm getting him on the pay-per-view. I mean, he's clearly my favorite wrestler of the WWE, so more squash matches.
All right, Chevy being the same dicky as always is. heavy set, what do you think, man? Best of the week. Best of the week for you. All the wrestling you've watched this week, what's the best of it? It even could be something from the network.
Well, if we were going to talk about wrestling, I've watched this week. Technically, I did go to a show.
Oh, but I
really want to know the weed that Chevy is on, because that is some amazing. Chevy, you're my new weed dealer, okay? Just whatever you're smoking, you send it this way, and that's what we'll do. I'm going to take a little bit of a probably a bad segment and put some of the highlights for it on it,
okay.
That I really love.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that it was Dolph's segment on Raw. And granted, he's one of my favorites, but he was so quick with rebuttals.
He was.
And you could tell, like, that was just him, and he's a stand-up comedian. He can come back with lines like that. So once he gets this chance to be on the mic more, it's all going to come out to the good. And just hearing some of them lines just fire back from him, I loved. And he's always been like that, but a lot of time it's been pushed to the side. I just want to see more and more of that coming forward.
That's a very good call, Heavy. Honestly, that's a very good call. I did notice that while I was watching that segment. He pretty much made that segment. Hugh Jackman really didn't know what to go because he's an actor. He doesn't normally improv. So when you got Dolph out there doing his best and you got Damian Sandow out there just being straight-faced as possible, wearing a Magneto sweatshirt, which I wanted so bad, and I still do one. I hope they sell those things, because if they do, I'm going to buy one. I don't give a shit how much it costs.
Oh, yeah, they do that. That was definitely just a costume hoodie with sweatpants.
Oh, I want that
and
thing.
And it's their own cape. Like, your cape's not going to come with it. Like, I actually have a Captain America and Batman one. And I actually, when that part came on, I looked at my girlfriend. I'm like, do I look like that? And she goes, you look worse.
Heavy Batman. I am Fat Man.
Hugh Jackman did a pretty good hip toss.
He did. He really did. It was a nice, deep, big hip toss. It was really good.
It's just nice to see a guest on Raw that actually wanted to be there, rather than someone who's like Betty White and that, who they've told to be there.
The crappy thing is, Joe Manganiello was there with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he is such a huge wrestling fan. He's such a big wrestling fan. If you guys ever get a chance to hear the Nerdist podcast and listen to his podcast, which I think was like last year, he talks about Macho Man Randy Savage, and he does a spot-on impression of Macho Man Randy Savage. It's fantastic. And he's such a big fan of wrestling. Even now, he's a big fan of wrestling. So I kind of felt bad for him that he was in that crappy segment. But he can't be promoted because he's on True Blood. So you can't promote True Blood. I mean, you can promote an action movie because that's okay. But True Blood, no, because True Blood has nudity on it. So that's not okay. Anyway.
While we're on the best of, there was one other thing that was great that I forgot about. And Chevy, thank you for bringing up Rusev. The Russian valet, whatever her name is.
What's her name?
I mean Lana.
Yeah. That's what I called her. Heavy, that's what I called her, man. I was like, hey, oh, yeah.
Well, anyhow, I have said many times before that Vince is brilliant in his weaving in of topical news kind of social movement things.
Yeah, you have.
And her promo where she talked about in her thick Russian accent, power is never earned. You just have to go out there and take it. With the stuff with Putin and the Ukraine, I thought it was very topical, spot on, and brilliantly played.
Rocky Mountain High, folks, always bringing in the news from outside into our fantasy world and destroying it.
I think that's old Vince. He's been doing it for decades, and he's just really good at it.
He is good at it. He's very good at it. He's very good at it. But yeah, Heavy Set, that's what I call her too. That chick has body karate. She is her body is amazing. I mean, oh my goodness, she's amazing. Anyway.
And boy, do they know how to dress her.
Oh, ooh, my God. And she started showing off her ass this week. Holy shit. Huh. Oof.
She's 100 times more over than Rusev.
She really is. She really is, Chevy. She really is. All right, guys. I'm going to do fee for all. So I'm going to go to each one of you. Anything you want to rant about, anything you want to have just a quick, you know, if you want to spend 5 minutes, I'm okay with that. We got a little bit of time. Not worried about it. We'll go to Baker, man. What do you want to talk about? Anything that you feel uncomfortable or anything that you feel pissed about or anything that you feel happy about? What do you want to talk about this week?
I've got something I'd like to see in the future.
Okay.
Basically, I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think the person I'm going to talk about is quite ready for that spot yet. But I always think that they're pushing this Heyman, my client, has broken the streak.
Yeah.
So hard. I'm just thinking, what about if that's purely just to have him with Cesaro, Heyman and Cesaro, just for a couple of months, build it up. Then Cesaro just thinks, well, fucking, you're still on about the bloody streak and that. I've had enough of this. I deserve attention myself. Turns on Heyman, that brings out Lesnar, and then you've got Lesnar versus Cesaro. I just wonder if anyone else could see that happening or would like it to happen. Or
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Last week I said that was the only way that this was going to be justified to me.
Yeah.
And I could see that happening at the Battleground since they've moved that up to July and have that be Brock Lesnar's last match before he goes for the championship. Because Brock Lesnar can beat Cesaro, but if Cesaro looks physically impressive in the match, Cesaro will still get some kind of rub out of it.
And who's going to beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? John Cena.
Yep.
John Cena. Cena. You can't see me. You can't see me. Anyway. All right. Rocky Mountain High. Free for all. What you think, man? Any rants?
So I found two new wrestling programs this week as I was doing searches on the DirecTV thing. And I've set them to record. I haven't seen either one yet. One is called Traditional Championship Wrestling TCW. And go into their website, which is tcwwrestling.com. They have a bunch of stuff about Mid-South wrestling, so that's the only thing I know about it.
I thought Vince owned all that stuff.
I don't know. The other one is called Hollywood Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and I don't know anything about that either. So hopefully next week I'll have something to say about
Both of those. Next week, Rocky Mountain High, reporting in from the little guys. Chevy, what you got? Anything to rant about?
I know that the Hollywood one is actually like on a lot of local, local channels in California at like weird hours in the night and stuff.
Well, I mean that's the way ECW grew up, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Kind of a question I've always had, and it's getting worse with Rusev, is why is and someone else can answer this for me. Why is that Steiner recliner athlete, whatever they call it? Why is that submission considered like a quote unquote strongman submission? Because I've never seen it and thought, well, that guy's physically impressive because he can do it. But it's always portrayed as like the submission for strong guys.
In the words of the Sheik, I will break his back and make him humble. Right? Pretty much, right? Right, guys?
Well, and then there's a follow on bit too, but I won't say that.
Yeah. You got to watch, you got to listen to Howard Stern for the follow up.
I always thought that the torture rack was a more physically impressive one.
Well, we haven't heard from Heavyset in a while. Heavyset, why do you think the camel clutch, because that's exactly what it is, the camel clutch is such a big man's submission move?
I think it's because of the position that the person giving it is in. It's kind of a way to flex a little bit, and it seems to be like if they're doing it, they're going to be putting a lot of power into it.
I don't buy it. Chevy, you don't buy it either, do you?
I've never bought it.
Yeah. I don't get it either.
It looks like you put the guy in a SEAL position and then he started doing like airplane imagination time.
I will make him humble. Do you have if you guys have any idea what I'm talking about, please tweet me. DSJNP.com, DSJNP.com. If you have any idea what happens after hashtag I will make him humble, let me know. Heavyset, anything to rant about? I know you always have a rant in you somewhere. You're known as the biggest bully on the AWWIR. What do you got to say this week? This is your platform, man. You can have 5 minutes if you want. What you got to say?
I technically have my own platform. It's www.kayfabesports.com.
Kayfabesports.com.
That's a whole different realm. Oh, a rant right now.
Something about the Deep Dish Dynasty sucks.
I think right now, just because Friday I went to a local show, it's just people to go out and see some shows or support my local indie scene, because AIW, what they're doing is completely amazing, and they're getting talent in.
Okay.
They're getting in. Who did they just have? They just had Alex Shelley in a match. Next month is going to be Chris Sabin versus Johnny Gargano. Cool. And it's gonna be it's part of a 2-day tournament. They're not gonna be part of the tournament, but there's like other names, world renowned names, that are gonna be in this tournament, trying to get a lot of attention. There's rumors that I have heard that they're going to try to build up to a tag team match for their June, July show, which is their WrestleMania. And it's going to be the Motor City Machine Guns versus the tag team known as the Panda Express, which is Johnny Gargano and Kevin Steen. That match on paper is amazing. And I just hope it happens. I fucking love Steen, love Gargano. I'm not big on the Motor City Machine Guns, but just have them live, I think it's going to be amazing. And that's just tip of the iceberg of like other people they bring in. I've turned people on to AIW as a product. Just they're on Smart Mark Video.
Can you give us a website to watch it on?
You can get some free, a little bit of free stuff on their YouTube, youtube.com/AI Wrestling. I'm working with them. I gotta eventually talk to them about sponsoring one of my favorite matches and paying for them to post the whole matchup. But there's just a lot out there, and they will put, actually, if you want to know some fairly big names that are just re-debuted at AIW, and it was kind of a big event, was they had this promo that they played on YouTube, and you can actually see that it says, like, I will not be forgotten. Well, it turns out it was the return of Jimmy Jacobs, BJ Whitmer, and my arch nemesis Crimson to AIW, and that was pretty epic.
That's cool, man. Guys, get out there, man. Support your local wrestling community. Please do. When TNA stopped by Augusta, I didn't go. I have to say I didn't go.
You didn't support your indie scene.
I had to work. I'm sorry. I had to work. I gotta run what I'm doing. So had to work. So anyway, please go out and support your local indie scene. You will see stuff there that you will not see on the big screen. Trust me, you will see something there that you've never seen before. I can guarantee it. A lot of these guys that you're seeing now, the Dean Ambrose, the Seth Rollins, the Daniel Bryan, all of these guys have come up from the indie scene, the ROH, the TNA, all of these things. I mean, wrestling communities like the, what was it again, Heavy?
AIW.
The AIW that
actually all of them had, I think all of them but CM Punk has stepped in an AIW ring.
See?
Daniel Bryan had an epic match with Johnny Gargano a couple years back. My very first indie show had Luke Harper, aka Brody Lee. He was in one match. He came out, and he did this pose right in front of me, and he looked down at me, and I was wearing a CM Punk shirt, the Chicago one with the Chicago flag. And he looked at me and he goes, really? And I go, yeah, why? And he goes, I like drugs. And he just walked away. that's the kind of guy he is. He's very funny. And I was happy he got a break.
There you
and
go.
Actually, so the story, if anyone wants to know, this is how supposedly he got his break, was at a show in Cleveland. He was working with Justin Labar from WrestleZone Reality, all this shit. There was this matchup that they had built around Labar at PWO Prime Wrestling. And it had to do with a local wrestler named Aaron Draven, I think it was his name. He picked a tag team partner to go up against Marion Fontaine, and he picked a tag team partner. Fontaine's tag team partner was Brody Lee, a.k.a. Luke Harper, and Aaron Draven / Justin Labar, they picked Kevin Nash. When Kevin Nash actually first met Brody Lee, which was in Cleveland, he was just impressed by the size of him.
Well, yeah.
And he literally went, "Holy!" Like at first sight of him, because he's like, they're like, yeah, that's the guy you're going to work with tomorrow. And he goes, holy shit. And they spent the whole night hanging out, and supposedly he put in a good word to Triple H, and that's what
that'll ended do up
leading him to his job.
That'll do it. You get in with Triple H's friends. You're in, man. That's all you got to do.
You know, I loved his Festus gimmick. I may be the only one, but I thought it was great.
There you go. So, guys, please go out and support your local wrestling community, man. My best of the week was the Shield on SmackDown, man. The Shield on SmackDown, and this is my free-for-all as well. The Shield on SmackDown was great. This is what they should have been doing from the get-go. They should be actually doing what they're doing, seeking injustices and snuffing them out. If they're the hounds of justice, seek injustice and make them right. Please keep doing this. This is what I want to see from the Shield. I want to see them beat up on 3MB when they're about to go 11 on 3. I want to see, now granted, you guys know how much of a mark I am for Fandango, but I want to see them beat up Fandango with Fandango as part of that crew. Brad Maddox getting thrown halfway across the room into a picture frame and falling behind a chair was funny. It made me actually laugh out loud. It was so funny. Fandango being thrown off the power bombed off the stage into the two tables and busting his elbow up. I enjoyed that. That was a little blood. That was unintentional. 3MB being beat up behind the cases and then doing the Superman punch to Heath. I enjoyed very much. Who they beat up in the ring? I forgot who they beat up in the ring.
I don't know. You say you're Jax. A big Fandango, Mark, and you can't even say his name right.
Fandango. Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fuck you, Chevy. So yeah, they should keep doing this with the Shield. I think they should go over on Evolution, and essentially see. But if they go over on Evolution, where do they go? They can't go anywhere else. Where do they go, guys? If they go over on Evolution, where do they go, Baker? Where do they go from here?
Potentially the beginning of the end, isn't it?
I know. Let's say they go over on Evolution. Okay. Once they go over, and let's say they go over on Evolution on Sunday. Where? What's the next one on Raw?
You lose one of them, and then that will become the next feud for a couple of months, them going to and fro with whoever leaves.
Right.
I'd probably have to say the natural heel of the faction is Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, which is, he stopped wrestling for some reason. I'm not sure why. RMH, what do you think, man? Let's say Shield goes over next night on Raw. What do we do?
Well, they could certainly go to your point to be this sort of freelance Hounds of Justice. I mean,
new APA.
They could have saved the damsel in distress from Kane.
That's true. New. What about like a new APA type thing?
Yeah, but I really think Wayne is right. In the absence of other credible three-man teams, then you split off one guy and you make him a two-man team.
Yep. Chevy.
They've pretty much dropped the Hounds of Justice thing. And last Friday's SmackDown wasn't about justice or anything. It was just about them making the odds more favorable for themselves.
But if you think about it, it kind of was about justice because they all beat them up on Monday night. Everyone knows that because everyone watches Raw. Not many people watch SmackDown, but everybody watches Raw. And then they retaliated, essentially, and watched and beat them up on SmackDown.
They beat them up because it's good tactics
that
to
too.
Take out as many of them as possible.
Well, they did open it up and say, you know, we're going to evolve, and this is how we're going to evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
The more I think about it, this is why I can't see them really winning. I can't really see them winning at Extreme Rules, whether it's someone in the group flips to Evolution,
mm-hmm.
or whether or not it's the summer long program with Evolution.
I don't know if I don't know if they're gonna do Evolution the whole summer. I don't know, because if they win, there's nowhere to go. That's what I'm saying. Heavy, what do you think? If they win at Extreme Rules right now, Shield wins, they beat the Evolution, the three top guys in the business right now. Essentially, you can say that they're the three top guys in the business. At least Triple H is the top guy in the business. I mean, he practically runs WWE right now. Where do they go from there? Heavy.
I think they start doing the split more and more. So I would think, like, if that's would be the case, like, power would get to one of their heads and something would conspire that way.
Some, like, you know, Dean Ambrose going, well, I pinned Triple H, you just help me pin him.
You figure out what for them to do at Payback, and then at Money in the Bank, you have every year you have some group that splits up in the middle of a briefcase match, and you just have that be the Shield this year.
So you just said that the Shield's going to lose at Extreme Rules.
But that briefcase would only be if they won.
No, you said that they have to do something at Payback.
If the Shield was to win somehow at Extreme Rules, I don't know what they do at Payback. You figure out something, but then you have them split at Money in the Bank.
Besides, I was about to say, the heels can't get Payback. They're the heels. They're the ones taking advantage. I keep looking at Rocky Mountain High and seeing Ric Flair, and it's freaking me out.
Hey, I just had an idea here.
What do you got?
So Batista goes away, put Cesaro in that slot. He's turning heel anyway, right? I mean, he'll do anything for the shot. I mean, that could be a great instance of Evolution.
Okay.
I don't see Paul Heyman joining up with Evolution.
I was about to say, yeah. And then what, Rocky?
I don't know. I'm just trying to plot out a path for Cesaro going forward, you know, for him to get a rub and to keep getting elevated. It seems like that
idea. As Chevy and I said on GroupMe, there goes Cesaro's wind. We just lost all of it. He went heel on Monday.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Yeah, he's basically, okay, Paul, if you're going to shoot me to the top, I'll do whatever you want.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
Sold a soul to the devil. I should know. And, I mean, we'll probably keep talking, guys, but that was the DSJNP.com WrestleCast for this week. Thoroughly enjoy. I want to thank everyone. Wayne is a Baker, Rocky Mountain High, Chevy, and Heavy Set joining me. I greatly appreciate all of you for this week. Thank you very much. You guys have a great week.